Welcome to the Visual Impact Podcast, bringing you conversations and insights from the world of filmmaking. I'm Rob Newton. Today we are talking to special effects guru Mark Turner, who took time out of his busy schedule to chat with us from his company HQ in Gloucestershire. Mark set up MTFX in 1993 and has been involved in special effects for over 25 years, working on wide-ranging projects such as the Olympic Games opening ceremony in 2012, BBC's Casualty, Hollow Ark, Sky Atlantic's Fortitude, the Iron Maiden Rock Tour, Kylie Minogue Tour, BBC's Doctor Who, and the Teletubbies. Hi Mark, welcome to the podcast and thanks for joining us today.
Indeed, thank you for inviting me.
No problem at all. You've been working in special effects, you're providing them for over 20 years, and I looked at your website and everything is amazing, by the way. And it's covering sort of theatre productions, rock music concerts, TV dramas, sporting events, films, you name it, and you've covered it, I think.
Absolutely. It's probably close to 25 years now.
Crikey, okay, that's brilliant. And I suppose the obvious question for me anyway is how and why did you decide to get into this side of the industry?
I think it was a misspent childhood to begin with. As every other child, we used to blow things up,
right,
have fun. And we used to make a lot of 8mm movies back then. And I thought that would be a really cool thing to do. So I started off at Stage Electrics many years ago as high manager there, progressed, and I was given the opportunity to work with the Natural History Museum.
Right.
And they wanted to put live frogs and things like that into boiling liquids. We came up with a rig, how you could take a frog and put it into a boiling cauldron, or what looked like a boiling cauldron, and take it out safely.
Right, yeah. But before you set up your company, MTFX, I think it was 93, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. What were some of your earlier projects that you did and worked on before you formed your company?
So I think before I formed the company, we were really doing some of the theatrical effects within Stage Electrics. And that used to be some of the National Trust properties would often have fireworks and require theatrical effects. We used to do some of the ones for the launch of Jaguar. That was quite early on in the career, where we had to break big sheets of glass to reveal a car. And that was quite memorable and fun.
Yes, yes. And was that, did you do any formal training before you set off on your own?
I suppose we did it as we went along. I did train under somebody called Ian Legg, who was a special effects TV supervisor here in Bristol. And he was coming to the point of retirement, and we got on quite well. So I spent a number of years kind of going through a handover process on how you behave on a film set, how you treat people, learning about the hierarchy. And I spent a lot of good years with him learning the groundwork, really.
Yes, I suppose once you've done a few, you got hooked into it and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed it. People invited me back, and we seemed to have the right attitude, which people enjoyed, and that stayed with us through the company all these years.
Fantastic, yeah. I believe MTFX is one of the largest range of special effects equipment in the country, and you also create some bespoke special effects. Could you just give us an example of what, if you like, you provide off the shelf, as it were, and then move on to some of the bespoke special effects?
Yes, I mean, there is, so in the TV and film world, there are standard effects we do, like rain effects. For events, we often do confetti, and that can be from blowers, from cannons, from guns, from droppers. So there's a whole way of dropping confetti on the area you want. You then get involved with streamer cannons, where you shoot streamers out, CO2 cannons, which will shoot big plumes of white fluffy smoke, again, to do reveals or to highlight a moment. And then there are pyrotechnics as well. So if you want to end something on a beat, you can have a wall of sparks, a wall of jets, or indeed flames. And so across all three areas we work in, i.e. corporate events, live events, and TV and film, there is an overlap.
Yeah. Is there, what's particularly different when you do an effect for those different segments? Can you say whether there's something that you always do, or something that's very different depending on the segmentation?
No, I think you treat one each one individually. I think it's been helpful learning in the corporate events and live events where you only have one shot of things you can practice and practice. But sometimes it comes down to just one moment when the effect has to happen. And I think taking that nature and how we do things for that industry has helped us maybe in the TV world. Where actually in the TV world, you know, you do sometimes have two or three takes of things. But if you go at it with the attitude of I can do this once, I think that's really helpful.
Sure, yes, yeah. And is there any bespoke special effects you've created for a client you could talk about?
Oh, I think in some ways, each of our effects is bespoke. We did a big job a number of years ago out in the Middle East where we had to reenact a building catching fire and exploding. And we had to do this two or three times a day over the period of 2 weeks. And that was really good. So we had to come up with a system of using, we couldn't use as many pyrotechnics as we liked because that was quite tricky. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a compressed air system using gas, flames and confetti and maybe some dust and lightweight bricks. And we recreated the same effect, you know, two or three times a day, every day for a week.
Right. Brilliant. Sounds exciting. And in terms of testing effects, you know, if a client wants a particular effect, do you bring them down to where in Gloucestershire where you are, or do you go on set?
Yeah. And both, really. Often we will always start with a video, so we tend to I very much like getting out into the test field, which we have, and trying something. It's all good to sit there with pen and paper mm-hmm. and doing doodles, but it's much better, I think, just to go out there, grab some explosives or grab a wind machine or grab an aroma machine and do effects and test something. And then we just do a little video. So we are famous for all the video footage we've created over the years when you test either a wind machine blowing something over or a car exploding and flipping onto its back or whether you're exploding cornstarch and flour. So I'm very much, yeah, we love the practical element of it, really.
Right, yeah, terrific. And in terms of, as you say, turning a car over, do you provide the stunt driver as well or just the effect?
No, they're always sourced separately, but there are some people we work with all the time. So we have excellent relationships with a number of people who have used over or been working with over 15 years, and there's a trust element there. I mean, that's great, really.
Yes, I suppose it's sort of a special effects sort of community, as it were, I guess, isn't it, that you all spin off each other?
Yeah, people recommend us. We recommend other people. So there is like a little family of people who you've gone along life's path with.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And I guess trust is everything in your game, I guess.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, if you're blowing something up or you're going to create an explosion and you want to tell a stuntman you can stand here or there, they want to know that you haven't killed anybody or hurt anybody. Yeah. We did something just recently for Beavers of Casualty where somebody was thrown through a sheet of glass and they had to know that the glass was going to break as they hit it. If not, the stunt person would just bounce off.
Yes, yes. It's not something that you want to get wrong, is it really? Pretty much so, yeah. So I guess health and safety is high on your list.
It is, yes, absolutely. The amount of paperwork and things like that we do is everything we do has to be risk assessed and tested. And the videos we do are part of our risk assessing process. So we'll say to health and safety, this is what we've done. This is what we've tested it. You know, we've used a kilogram of explosive and these are our safety distances. We've done it this many times and this is what it looks like.
Can you maybe walk us through the various processes of one of your special effects jobs, you know, and look at the various key stages that you'd go through from being contacted by the production company all the way through to the actual effect itself?
Okay, I mean, it really depends on the scale of the project, but one of the ones we did a number of years ago was for Candy Crush and Morton up in London. And they wanted the Candy Crush bear to come out under the London Bridge. And on cue, the bear goes up into the air and there's a huge water display. And that was a process where we took all the water elements and we did a number of tests here over a period of 3 or 4 months. And we would test each element and then say whether it was foamy enough, fluffy enough, high enough. And everything we tested was then in line with. We had to consider that we were underneath London Bridge. So the scale of everything had to be so much bigger than we looked. And that was quite fun, really. And after we did all the waterworks, we got the lighting designer in and he came out over a couple of evenings. And we tested some of the effects with lights because at night, you know, you don't really see water. Mm-hmm. But as you lit them, he was then able to do his lighting design based on that. So that worked well too.
Right, yeah. And I suppose it's a matter of, as you said, reenacting what you've tested and make it put in the actual position that the effect's going to take place, which can often alter it, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Within its environment, your environment always affects it one way or another.
Sure. I mean, this might sound a bit of an obvious or silly question, but what's the difference between working on something like the Olympic Games or opening ceremony that you've done and, say, BBC drama? Is it different in terms of the process, or is it very much similar?
I think it's similar. We certainly take the same amount of care as to each one. I suppose there are enough more hoops you have to jump through and more health and safety and I's and T's to be dotted with an Olympic event like that. But with both processes, we go through a learning and we take the customer with us as we test something. So we did a lot of the hand torches work. So when the Olympic ceremony happened, we had David Beckham in the boat with us. Yep. And we had the hand torch, and that had to travel at 70 miles an hour up the Thames, and it had to stay alight. And that was one exciting challenge which we did. And we found that the torch stayed alight, no problems at all, but you couldn't see it. So that people would have thought the torch had gone out. So we had to do an augmented flame system where we added a bigger gas system so that as you traveled towards the down the river at 70 miles an hour, the flame size actually increased. So visually you could see it, just so people didn't think it had gone out. And indeed, it didn't go out, and it all looked lovely at the end of the day.
Fantastic. A big relief for everyone, I would imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. If you are doing a production, how early are you brought in? Is it right at the beginning, or, you know, do they know specifically, right, we want to shoot, like, Casualty and halfway episode 3, we need this effect? Do they bring you in really early or quite late?
It varies. So on a BBC production, they'll seek our advice, and they'll say, is this practical, is this possible, can we do it in this venue, is this venue too small or not high enough? And so we're brought in at that process, often with corporate events, because we tend to be the icing on the cake. We're the last in, first out. So if budget gets cut, we're often, you know, out the door before other people. So it does vary really on which industry it is.
Right. And how does your relationship with the director and cinematographer work in terms of the actual practicalities of, you know, recording and filming the effect?
Okay, so I mean, certainly with a cinematographer or DOP, we'll often he'll often want a certain look for the film. So we're working on a production now for Amazon, and they want a certain look for the haze or a look for the flame. So we spent a lot of time in pre-production seeing how does this flame get read by this camera, or how does the smoke and haze read by those set of lenses. And so often we'll spend time for planning, when we know we're involved with the project, just doing some tests so that we know when we're shooting, they know how light is going to behave and how the fog's going to be read and how the smoke's going to be read.
Right. And what about working with the art department? Is that crucial too?
Yeah, I mean, art department usually is where we touch base. Often if you have a prop, they need a flame on it or they need it to do an action. And so liaising with the art department is key. And it's usually the supervising art director we liaise with, even though we know the designer quite well, and we'll start off with him.
Right. So I guess you know quite early on when projects are going to you know, be filmed and your involvement in it.
I'd like to say yes, but again, often a lot of other people seem to be booked for us, though we'd like to be first in line. We're often not quite as early as we'd like to be in getting booked and approved, etc.
Yes, yeah, okay. And when they suggest something, do you, because of your experience, as you say, you know, 25 years plus, do you often say to them, you know, the production, well, I know you want that, but actually this might work better, be more spectacular or whatever?
I think we are often aware of their limitations, sometimes with budget or time, mm-hmm. and we'll try to make suggestions which are helpful to them from that point of view. So, yeah, they will often ask us what we think, and if they trust us, we'll say to them, you can do it this way, which is that, or you could save money and shoot it in this way or that way, or if you wanted to, and this was the highlight for the film for you, we could spend a bit more on this and maybe create this quite special as this look or that look.
Yes, yes. I guess it's a balance all the time between time and availability of the actors and that sort of thing, isn't it?
Agreed, yes.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Might be a strange question, but have you ever had to rescue a DOP who's got a bit too close to the action?
I'm not going to name any names, but sometimes they get lost in their world.
Yes.
Especially if they're looking through the lens. Uh-huh. And they'll wander around, and sometimes they get slightly too close to the flaming torches or slightly too close to this, that and the other. So, I did have one cameraman once who wanted to put his camera in his crane very close to the action. So he was determined he was going to be above the explosion when it went off, and it took some persuading to actually make sure that he was actually at a safe distance rather than getting the tight shot he was after.
Yes, yes. I guess, you know, trust and faith sometimes goes a bit too far, and then they can just say, oh, it'll be fine, it'll be okay, and not understand the ramifications.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I said, well, I wouldn't stand there. So generally they say they stand behind the effects person. They know they're relatively safe.
Yeah. And when you're watching sort of a film, a movie, a TV production, whatever, and you see some of the effects, do you often think, oh, I would have done it a bit differently, or...?
Yeah, I won't name any examples, but recently there's been a couple of things I've seen. I'm going, oh, I wouldn't have quite done it like that, or I wouldn't have done... like this, or I can see how they've done that. And then sometimes you're overjoyed and you go, that's really quite clever how that worked, or I know what the elements were in to make that happen. So I think it swings in both ways. Sometimes you cringe and sometimes you're overjoyed, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, no, sure. Just a little side question, but with stricter health and safety rules and materials that you can use, I mean, everyone's going green and environmentally friendly now, aren't there? And how has that changed what you do since you started?
I think people are more conscientious, mm-hmm. certainly with smokes and dusts and snow and things like that. We're aware very much of our green footprint,
yeah.
And we try to compensate and use alternatives where possible.
Sure. I suppose a lot of people used to use paper as well, didn't they? Or maybe they still do, but you know, that's sort of frowned on a little bit now.
It is. I think paper's still used a lot. I think with plastic is the one I think people have cut down on more than anything. And just trying to use less plastic or the right type of plastics.
Yes, yeah, and certainly in terms of health and safety, it's all, you know, I think the things they've introduced have all been good for the health and safety of the, as you said, the camera people as well as the talent and yourselves, so I think that's good. But it's interesting to see how it's changed over the years.
Yes.
Yeah. What's been your biggest special effects that you've done, what would you say, in terms of spectacular?
We did quite a big episode a little while ago of Casualty where we had to blow up an oil tanker. So the storyline was the oil tankers crashed and the oil tanker was actually a gas tanker and the gas tanker had to explode. And we fired off something like 200 gallons of petrol over about 3/4 of a second. We had 12 different charges, each of which had to give us a very big ball of flame, and we rippled it through this oil tanker, and that made a really cool noise and looked quite cool.
Excellent. Yeah, it's always, because obviously you do it for a job, but when I'm watching it I think, how on earth did they come up with that and get know exactly where the car's going to stop and where the tanker's going to stop and how spectacular it's going to be and how tall the flames are going to be. It's quite amazing.
I think, you tend to do a stunt. You see where things land and you take your best guess, and then you can always tweak it slightly to make sure that the vehicle ends up in the right place. And you know beforehand what you want to create with the explosion, so you ask the set builders to make things out of the right materials, and you warn the director what he can and can't do in terms of shots afterwards. So some of it is fairly well thought through at the beginning.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure, yeah. And can you tell us a little bit about the 2012 Olympic Games, the opening and closing ceremony, and how you got that job and what you provided, etc.?
Yes, I mean, it was a long process we went through of actually quoting for the Olympic ceremony. We were really only involved for the opening ceremony with delivering the flaming torch to the stadium. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a system where the flame went down the River Thames, and as it went down the Thames, there was fireworks and pyrotechnics. There was a big boat, which was a big speed boat, and we created this huge water wall. So as it went down the Thames, like a Batmobile or a bat boat at the time, it created a huge plume of water spray out the back, and that looked very, very cool, as well as having some like high intensity smoke canisters. So you have this lovely rolling white smoke behind it. Yeah. So even though it was just a fleeting 10-second shot, it was probably thought about and worked out for at least 6 months with various tests, both down in Bournemouth in the bay down there under the guys. And I think it was nicknamed Project Max because it was highly secret at that time, as lots of other things were. And for the closing ceremony of the Paralympics, we did all the flame effects. So we did lots of flamethrowers, confetti cannons, pyrotechnics. We created a big shape out of a heart shape on the ground for the end sequence. And yeah, that would probably be my second most memorable job. Yeah. I've done those two.
Fantastic. And do you, cinematographers often will be able to know who shot a particular movie, because of the style and the way they point the camera and that sort of thing. I mean, is that the same for you guys? Can you spot who actually provided the effects?
Not really. I think you can certainly take a guess, and I think some of them you can be very proud of, and you go, I like that, and it'd be good to emanate that, but not so much maybe as a DOP or a director of photography or something like that.
Okay, no worries. And I believe you did Fortitude as well.
Yeah, that was great. I had a lot of fun with that and the snow. We went out to Svalbard a couple of years ago, and that was good fun, really, working at minus 25, minus 20. We learnt a lot. We did some testing. We hired some big freezers this end to test some of the snow effects, because funnily enough, we had to do falling snow out there, and that was really, really challenging, considering a lot of the falling snow uses water and foam and things like that, which then froze, so the machines didn't work. But that was a really enjoyable project, which was completely out of our comfort zone, but really enjoyable.
Yes, yeah, so it must have been really hard with the difficult conditions and being that cold, and things that would normally work suddenly freeze up.
Yes, I mean, simple things like battery life on phones or anything else, they would be cut in by a quarter because of the cold temperatures. Working at minus 25 was ever so debilitating, just with hands and fingers and digits. Doing blood hits, we had to make sure that all the blood stayed liquid. If not, you'd be having little ice cubes being blown out. Matching some of the interior shots in the Bristol studio we were shooting at compared to abroad, that was, good fun. Yeah. So that was one of my highlights again. I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, have you got a favourite scene that you could describe and what you contributed to it?
Yeah, there's a great scene actually where one of the main characters gets shot with a shotgun, and as they stood in front of this big window, and the window was about 4 foot square, we had to shoot them with a shotgun. They had to be pulled backwards through the window, so the glass had to have a special hole in it, and where we could tug the stuntman, and then we had to deck the window at the right time, and then we had decks also on the glass to simulate all the little shotgun bullets. And then we had to shoot it twice. We shot it interior, looking at it from the inside in Bristol. We shot it from the exterior when he then lands on the snow and all that. So, yeah, that was good fun.
Yes. And do you ever have a situation where there's lots of special effects rolled into one, one after another, where you have to do lots of different things, your car's rolling over and explosions, etc.?
Yeah, we had a great sequence we did probably about 5 years ago now, with a helicopter crashing into a building. And the helicopter comes out of the sky, it crashes into one ambulance, which shoved forward into another one, which meant that a building collapsed and some of the scaffolding came down. And then the propellers came off it and they went off and hurt various people and got embedded in buildings. So that was quite fun. And that we shot over a period of 4 days, even though it ended up as simply probably a 10-second sequence. But we had rigs for the helicopter to move. We had pushing rigs to move the helicopter. We had pulling rigs on the ambulances, so they moved. Then we had what we call weak knees, which is a leg which gave way as part of the scaffolding, so the scaffolding could collapse. Yeah, and all of that was really good fun.
Yeah.
And then we were literally, it's like being on a Bond film. You turn up every day and you blow something up, roll something into something else, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, it must be quite strange. What do you do for a living? Well, I blow things up. So
yeah, exactly that. We have a T-shirt which says, I'm the pyro guy. If you see me running, try to keep up.
Brilliant. I love it. Love it. I want to move on to the relationship now, maybe between practical effects, what is what you do, and CGI. Because obviously there's been a rise in CGI in the industry, in filmmaking and with all of the digital aging and all the things it can do now. But I think a lot of people, particularly myself, I love the practical effects. How do you think it's changed, the industry and what you do?
I think it's swung all the way to be very much CGI. Hmm. But actually, it's then kind of slightly swung backwards, where we do a lot of practical effects and we just use CGI to paint out the safety wires and things. So we've done it. So you may see somebody driving along and they fall off their bike. And whereas at one stage you may do it all CGI badly, now they tend to do it with effects and we just paint out the safety element. So more and more we're seeing CGI being used to remove elements which make the physical effects safe. Rather than actually recreating the whole effects.
Yes, because although the computer technology is good, as you say, most people can notice some elements anyway that just doesn't look right,
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think CGI is much better at kind of removing bits which enable you to do it for real safely.
Yes, yes. So... when it's used, as you say, in conjunction with CGI, how closely do you work with that team?
Fairly close. We often, if we create a flame effect, we try to give it the right colour, because if you're using blue or green, you don't want any of those colours in the green screen or blue screen at the back. So we'll try to do things to make sure that if we're working with water, obviously we want to use the right green screen in the background. So there are those elements. We also sometimes will look at haze and smoke, whereas if we add haze and smoke when they need it, often it's hard for them to remove it. So sometimes it's easier for us to leave smoke out or haze out and let them put as much as they want to in if they're doing comp shots and things like that.
Sure. So I guess they give you a brief beforehand and then you work to that in terms of...
Yeah, that we'll just say to them, do you want smoke with this? Would you like haze? And they'll go, actually, we need to match it to the left and right. That's going to make our lives really difficult. So therefore, it's easier to do all the haze and smoke in post-production.
Yeah.
Well, they may say, actually, it really helps us because it's going and the smoke and haze is manipulating with people which are in real action. And so therefore, it's easier to put it in and they'll then add the bits around the edge.
Right. So does it make your job harder, do you think?
It's really not harder or easier. It's just you work with people to get the best results. We don't have a we want the right thing for the film or the production.
Yeah, of course.
We don't have an ego as such for us to say that it is us or them or whatever.
No. So it's a matter of working together with the whole crew.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's why I know some people walk out of the movie as soon as it's finished, but a lot of people like myself like to see just how many people have contributed to it, and there's an awful lot of technicians that go towards, it may, as you say, only be a 5 or a 10 second insert, but that could make or break the movie.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I think so. And finally, do you think there are less people doing what you do now, practical effects, or do you think it's still on the rise?
I still think it's on the rise. I think the bigger films are getting bigger and the smaller films are getting smaller. So whereas you maybe couldn't afford to do effects for some smaller productions, I think that's got worse. Mm-hmm. I think some of the larger productions require more and more technicians. So I think it's just changed, whereas there are the larger productions have more special effects in every sequence, every way, and every location, whereas some of the smaller things actually just do without it because they can't afford it.
Sure. That's brilliant. It was, it's really fantastic talking to you, Mark, and I wish we could go on even more, but I'm afraid we're running out of time. So, you know, thanks for giving up your time today and talking to us about your career so far.
No worries.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye now. Bye.
That was special effects guru Mark Turner talking about his work on high-profile TV, film and corporate events. Thanks for listening. You can find more podcasts, blogs and exclusive visual impact content by going to our website, visuals.co.uk.